It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Well, welcome to our Bible study segment, ladies. I hope you have your Bibles open to the book of Philippians. Beth Seifert is back at the table with day two here, lesson number two. And we're titling this one, Pick Your Battles. What a great title, Beth. What will we be learning about today?
Well, today we're going to, Paul gives us kind of a glimpse of what he's really going through. We get kind of a piece of what his circumstances really are right now, and that he's also aware of some things that are going on outside the walls of the prison that are concerning for the people who are out there. And basically, Paul is going to explain to them when to pick your battles. So, and if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. Now, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Okay, now, reminder, he's writing this from jail. He's in jail for preaching the gospel message of Christ. Let me remind you that jail for Paul, very different than jail today. There was no cable TV. There was no electricity. There was no weight room, no exercise yard, no three square meals a day. When Paul and Silas were in jail, they relied on food from other believers. The government didn't provide food for the prisoners. In order to eat to stay alive if you were in jail, you better hope you had some good friends on the outside who were going to come to jail and bring food for you. Now, that may not sound so difficult. I could prepare a meal and bring it to Paul until you realize why Paul was in jail. He was in jail for preaching the gospel. So anyone who came to the jail to give him food was someone who believed the gospel as well. What was happening to people who were followers of Christ? They were being thrown in jail. So to feed Paul, his friends risked imprisonment themselves simply for showing up and revealing their sympathies toward him. The prison took note of who came and went to provide these meals, and you were suddenly being watched for signs of trouble, and you might be thrown into jail too. And the physical conditions in jail? Paul and Silas were bound to each other. You were typically bound to the person next to you, bound at the feet, at the ankles, and their hands were bound to the wall that they were sitting against. They couldn't lie down. They couldn't stand up. And I'm not even going to imagine how they dealt with things like bathroom breaks. But Paul is consoling the church in Philippi not to worry about him as he's in chains. His concern is for their worry over his health. He doesn't want them to worry because he can see God working through his chains. To him, the physical discomfort isn't important at all. What is important is that everyone around him realizes that he is in chains for Christ. And because of that, he is able to share Christ with all those around him. Do you think that he could do that if he was snarky and complaining? Of course not. If he was snarky and complaining, what would set him apart from the other prisoners? Nothing. But Paul is different from the other prisoners because he is in Christ. And Paul is joyful and more than willing to be in chains to advance the gospel. He sees the true point is to reach as many as possible, and he isn't concerned with what he has to go through in order to make that happen. It has become clear to everyone in the jail that Paul isn't in jail for being guilty of a crime. He is in jail because of his stance for the gospel. The whole palace guard, possibly several thousand men, know this, and it sparks their curiosity at the very least. Even more so, Paul is thrilled that his imprisonment is giving other men the courage to speak the word of God even more courageously and fearlessly. He is more than joyful. He's happy. He sees the goal, and he is thrilled that it's being advanced. Now, verse 17 always intrigues me. Paul doesn't care what the motives are behind those envious preachers. as long as they are preaching Christ and not false heretical doctrine. That's it. As long as Christ is being preached, he's leaving the hearts and motives of these men who want the accolades for themselves. He's leaving that all up to Christ. Most of these men were preaching the gospel because it was dear and precious to them. Christ had changed them. They loved him, and their hearts were burning with that love to him, and they couldn't stop themselves from sharing him with others that they might learn to love him too. But there are those others. These people preached hypocritically. They didn't do what they were preaching. They weren't even truly following Christ, even as they preached. And they were insincere. They didn't believe what they were preaching either. Still, they preached Christ, and they did it accurately. Christ's interests were served, the saving of sinners, the establishment of the saints, through those men. God can make use of his own truths to achieve his purpose of saving sinners, despite who shares these truths and why they're sharing it. So even though Paul detested envy, ambition, strife, contention, hypocrisy, and insincerity, he was rejoicing that Christ was being preached. And again, just a reminder, these preachers were not heretical. They were preaching the truth, just for the wrong reasons. The biggest reason they were preaching? They wanted to cause problems for Paul. See, the more they preached, and the more people who believed, the more ruckus was caused, and the more that Paul was in trouble for starting this whole thing. So they were trying to get Paul in more trouble because the leader would be the one that the government would go after first, because then everybody else would disperse, right? Well, also, these people wanted people to follow them. They wanted groupies. So these envious preachers were trying to add to Paul's difficulties even while he was in jail, but Paul's response sort of takes the wind out of their sails. He doesn't care what happens to him. He cares about the gospel. It makes it hard to persecute that man by spreading the gospel because you're doing what he wants you to do. So what does that mean for us? Paul knew why these men were preaching the gospel. He knew it wasn't for God's glory. They had an agenda. But he didn't consider that a battle worth fighting. Isn't that strange? We choose our battles every day, often without even knowing that we're choosing them. One of the things that can get me totally irritated is when I see someone doing, quote-unquote, the right thing for what I know is a selfish reason. For example, people who will serve other people so that they can receive the praise for their service. And don't think this doesn't happen amongst churchy people. There are a lot of people who want others to notice their service. They want people to tell them how godly they are, to tell them how humble they are. These people sometimes even have an air of martyrdom about them. You know what I'm talking about. It's that attitude of, look at how amazing I am because I have been so selfless and have not thought of myself at all, but have done so much to help this ministry. Let me tell you, those people who are serving because they love Christ and truly want to do his will have an entirely different spirit about them. There is a graciousness and peace about them that can't be faked because it doesn't come from them. It comes from God. So how do you know why you are serving? A very simple heart check test that you can do is to consider this. When you serve and no one notices, no one says thank you, how do you react? Do you become resentful? Do you feel taken advantage of? Do you feel underappreciated? Do you vow not to help that way again if they can't even manage a thank you? Or are you able to die to yourself and be thankful for the opportunity to serve? Are you able to praise God for his will being accomplished and for you being a part of it, remembering that even if no one else noticed, your Father noticed? Are you able to stop any bitterness before it starts, giving it all back to God for his glory? Check your heart today, but then give it back to God.
Oh, excellent, Beth. And you know, we need to check our hearts every day, ladies. To glorify him should be our ultimate purpose for any ministry, any service that we do. Well, Beth, thank you very much. We are going to point ladies to our website at naomistable.com, where you have provided all of the notes, some great questions for today's lesson, and some scriptures that will take you all over the Bible, which is what we should be doing as well. Thank you, Beth. Well, we're going to leave it here at the table and talk more about some interesting insights when we come back.